Turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 16. I don't know about you as you're turning, but it thrills my soul to come into the house of the Lord tonight and still see that it's daylight outside. Man, oh man, I love when the time changes. I love the winter. Now, I do. I love a lot of things about the winter, especially snow. But man, when that time changes and things start to bloom, oh man, what a wonderful time to live. Every year is in the spring, coming of the spring. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, spring begins Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, the 21st. So we're very excited for the seasons changing and everything starting to bloom. And we're getting to spend more time outside. It is a great time to live. And so 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. And it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, 'From whence comest thou?' And he said unto him, 'Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped.' And David said unto him, 'How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me.' And he answered, 'That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also.' And David said unto the young man that told him, 'How knowest that thou Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead?' And the young man that told him said, 'As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord.' And then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, 'Whence art thou?' And he answered, 'I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite.' And David said unto him, 'How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?' And David called one of the young men and said, 'Go near and fall upon him.' And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, 'Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed.'" Pray with me at this time. Father, in Jesus' name, God, how I pray now as we open up your word tonight. And God, how I pray that it would fall upon us anew and refresh. God, as we begin to embark on this journey in the book of 2 Samuel, God, how I pray that, Lord, you would use it. God, you would help us to be challenged by your word tonight. And God, may we take this word and may we use it in our lives this week, God. God, speak to our hearts right now. God, we need you. I need you, Father. So, Lord, help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we begin our journey here in the book of 2 Samuel. Now, as promised, we're not going to go through verse by verse of 2 Samuel, but the story of David continues in the book of 2 Samuel. And so as we embark on this journey in 2 Samuel, I would like to remind you of where we looked at back in 1 Samuel chapter 31 and what takes place here. We understand that as chapter 31, we recognize that Saul goes into battle against the great Philistines. And as he goes into battle against the Philistines there, there in chapter 31, the Philistines slew many of his men, and Saul had to watch and see. And then we find out not only did he watch and see his men that were slain, but we see that he saw his three of his sons here in verse 2. Let me read that again. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul. This is chapter 31 of 1 Samuel. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan. Now we know Jonathan was very near and dear to David. He was his best friend. It says, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchi Shua, Saul's son. So he not only saw a lot of his army die, he not only saw his sons die, but then we see that in verse 3, it says, and the battle went sore against Saul and the archers. Hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Saul was wounded as well. And then Saul looks at his armor bearer in verse 4, and Saul asks him to do something that many of us, including myself, would be shocked that he would do. And he asked his armor bearer, would you please kill me? He'd seen enough. He'd had enough. He knew that his great empire was about to be destroyed. He wasn't going to be king for much longer. And he just asked the armor bearer, will you please kill me? Please just get me out of my misery. Now, like I said last time, this is a very, very sad time in his life. But Saul had come to that point. But the armor bearer looks at him and says, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to. And I told you, I would have probably been the same way, because the armor bearer could say, hey, if I kill you, then they're going to kill me because I killed the king. Well, Saul says, okay, fine. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it myself. And suddenly he kills himself. Well, we go to chapter 1 of 2 Samuel here. And in 2 Samuel chapter 1, we hear now that David gets word of Saul's death. David is obviously running from Saul because Saul was continuing to chase David. And so David is here. And the location that we find in chapter 1 is in verse 1. It says, now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites. Remember, he had to fight the Amalekites. They surprised David, but David came back and slew all of them except 400 men. The Bible said there in, I believe, chapter 30. And it says, and the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. So David is here in the city of Ziklag. And so David returns from defeating the Amalekites, and this person comes to David in verse 2. It says, and it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent. So we don't know a lot about this person. We do know that he's from Saul's camp, okay? So we understand that. We do know that he had an anguished appearance. He had an anguished appearance, meaning that his clothes were torn all to pieces. He had dirt on his head to show that he was in mourning. Remember, he had been in battle, supposedly. And so he not only looked like he hadn't bathed in a week, there were a lot of things probably wrong with him. He was mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted from the turmoil that had taken place that he had faced. I don't know what it is to fight in a war. You know, I know there are some even in our church and many all over our nation that have fought in wars so that we could all have our freedoms. And that does a lot to an individual. It does. And praise God, it's something that I've never had to face. But this man was emotionally and physically and mentally exhausted because he'd been fighting and he was able to escape from Saul's camp. And as he comes to David, he does something that you wouldn't think a man would do. David is not king yet. Let's remember that. David is not king. But this man comes to David and he bows at David's feet. Watch this. In verse 2. And it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. Why did he do that? Because he knew that David was to be the future king. Now, obviously, at some point, he had heard that David would be the next king. And thus, as he bows to David, there are some questions that came to my mind as I was studying this passage of Scripture. I wonder if Saul had spoken to all of his camp and he told him that it wasn't going to happen. But when he died, this man knew exactly where to run to, and that was to receive help, and that was to David. But now, on the other hand, I also wondered this. If this man was so scared that David would kill all of Saul's men, since now they were wounded and didn't have as many, was he coming to just make sure that he could live? Was he coming to bow to David so that he wouldn't die? Those are some intriguing questions that I also had. And then we see that David had a question for him in verse 3. He says, "From whence comest thou?" David asked him, "Where are you coming from?" And he said, "Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped." Now, David had a valid question here. He's saying, "How did you escape from the camp?" Now, remember, they didn't have social media, okay? They didn't have TV or anything like that. So David at this time had no clue that, number one, Saul was dead, and had no clue why this man was here. David knew that this man had been on the battlegrounds, but here he comes bowing down to David as a plea, and David wonders why this man is around him. Now, I know this may be far-fetched, but I pondered on this, and I wondered, just wondered, and I don't have biblical basis behind this, but I wonder if David looked at this man and wondered if he was a spy for Saul. Now, once again, I'm not saying it is. So don't say Pastor Joe said in 2 Samuel chapter 1, this man was a spy. Okay, don't say that. But I just wonder because, remember, David had been fighting. He'd been chasing for so long, for 7 years, from Saul's camp. And here comes one of Saul's men. And he says, and he's bowing down to him, but at the same time, in my mind, I would be like, something's not right here. He shouldn't be here. And why is he bowing down to me? He's fake. I wouldn't trust him. Let's be honest. I wouldn't trust the man. And so he asks, "Where are you coming from?" And he says, "Out of the camp." So we see here in verse 4, he says, "Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped." Now watch David's response. He says, "How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me." And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. So the man claimed here that the Philistines achieved a sweeping victory of the Israelite army and had killed King Saul and his son, Jonathan. The heir to the throne in Saul's eyes was dead now. As preacher's outline in the Sermon Bible states, in giving his report to David, the messenger claimed to have seen the Israelite army routed, fleeing from the battlefield, and many of the soldiers had been wounded and killed. In addition, he claimed to have witnessed the death of King Saul and his son, Jonathan. Now, look at the shocking response in verse 5 of David. And David said unto the youngest man, that told him, How knowest that thou Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? So David was in shock of the news that he had just heard. Saul, the mighty king, was dead, but also poor David's dear friend, Jonathan, was dead. You know, remember a few lessons back, I told you in that passage of scripture, this would be the last time that Jonathan and David saw one another, and sure enough, they never saw one another again. You know how you feel when you hear about shocking news? And I'm sure this is how David felt, knowing that this man had some very intriguing things to say to him. He was very shocked at this. He never probably thought that this would happen. Now put your shoes in David's. He hears that Saul's dead. Now, to my human mind here, I would think, man, there goes my problem. He's gone. But we're going to see here in just a little bit, that's not how David responded. And the godliness of David is so fascinating to me. But see, in verses 6 through 10, the man now goes on a rant. So he tells him about, he says, listen, Saul and Jonathan are dead. And now the man tells four lies. He tells four lies to David in verses 6 through 10. It says here in verse 6, and the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed after him. So first thing, he lied about the death of Saul. He lied about the death of Saul. And then secondly, in verses 7 and 8, he lied about his identity. Watch this. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. So now he's saying he's an Amalekite. But he came out of the camp of Saul. Two different things here. So he lied about his identity. He lied about the death of Saul, what took place. Obviously, David had no idea exactly what took place. But then he lied about Saul, desiring for him to kill him. Saul never told this guy to kill him. You say, well, he could have been his armor bearer. What did the armor bearer do? He killed himself as well. So it couldn't have been the armor bearer. And so now in verse 9, this man, he says that Saul asked me to kill him. See, watch in verse 9. And he said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me. Kill me. He's saying, Saul told me to kill him. He says, for anguish is come upon me because my life is yet whole in me. So this man lies about Saul trying to kill him, desiring to kill him. He said that he was an Amalekite and that Saul looked upon him and said, please take me out of my misery and kill me. This was as far from the truth as possible, but he was trying to lie in order to get his way about something. See, I believe that he thought if he could impress David, the future king, that he could have more in his life. David would reward him because he got rid of Saul. Now, could David have killed Saul? Absolutely, time and time again. But he didn't, because David knew that he was God's anointed. And because of that, David never did. But this man thinks, hey, I can tell him that I took care of Saul, and now David will reward me. See, he was lying. How many of us, including myself, will lie to try to get something to gain? That's what this man was doing. He was lying to try to get something to gain. Now, look in verse 10. In verse 10, he said, now in verse 9, remember, he says, Saul wanted to kill me. He wanted me to kill him. And now watch in verse 10. He lied about killing Saul. He says, so I stood upon him. You know, this man comes up and he says, I stood upon Saul. And he says, and I slew him. I killed him. because I was sure that he could not live after that he was falling. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither and to my Lord. See, now he's calling him Lord. Already, David's not king, but he says, my Lord, here is Saul's crown. Here is Saul's bracelet. And so why did he done this? Why did he do this? Because he was hoping David would be so excited and say, hey, you come on with me. You're going to be my, we're going to be close. That was what he was doing. He was lying to make himself look better. He had stolen Saul's royal crown and his royal armband. That was a no-no. That was a big no-no. As one wrote, obviously the mourning was a deception, a lie in order to secure the favor of David. The man hoped to be richly rewarded for having killed the king, for he knew how fiercely King Saul had pursued David, seeking to kill him and remove him as a threat to his throne. By lying, he hoped to deceive David and to receive credit for having removed one of David's arch enemies. No doubt he hoped that David might reward him, either with wealth or some important position in the new government, and David would be establishing as the king of Israel. So that's why he did what he did. Listen, I want us to understand tonight and always remember that lies and deceptions are wrong, and they always cause problems for people, and sometimes for their reputation, their lives, their businesses, the organizations, and sometimes even nations. Lying is sin, and God can't stand a lying person. Listen, you want to be like Christ? Tell the truth. Don't be lying. Tell the truth. Be real. I'm reminded of the ones that went with us to the men's retreat. Clint Presley was talking about things that we need to be as a man. And one of the things that he told us 85 things that we need to do. And one of them I'm doing right now. Man, I'm wearing my watch for those that went. He said, always wear a watch. You need to wear a watch as a man. But anyways, one thing that he did say that was, very challenging to me, he said, always be real. Be real. Don't lie. Tell the truth. And as he was saying that, I'm reminded of this passage here. And this man was lying. He was deceiving. But David saw right through him. He saw right through him. And because you say, well, how do you know that? Well, that's where I want to get to tonight in verses 11 through 16. We see David's response here. He gets the news about Saul's death. And look what he does. Now, once again, put yourself in David's shoes. What would you do? If you had someone chasing you for 7 solid years and now he is dead, what would you do? Well, look what David does. Verse 11. And then David took on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him, and they mourned and they wept and fasted until evening. For Saul and for Jonathan, his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. So what did they do? Well, the Bible says that David and his men mourned, they wept, and they fasted. What an outstanding turn of events that I would have not done, if I'm honest. They mourned, they fasted, and they wept because Saul was God's anointed. As Preacher's Outline in the Sermon Bible states, no event in the life of David reveals his heart any more than his grief over the death of Saul. For years, Saul had fiercely pursued David, seeking to kill him and to eliminate what he perceived to be David's threat to his throne. Because of Saul's determination to eliminate David, David had been forced to live as a fugitive, suffering the constant pressure of being hunted down like an animal. And time again, David faced desperate, distressful situations because of his fierce pursuit of Saul. He suffered unbearable pain and agony, often feeling there was no way out, no solution to Saul's insane pursuit. For 7 years, David lived under the most distressing circumstances imaginable, that of being a fugitive hunted down by a king who was determined to kill him. End of quote. And that was David, and yet David, the man that he was, mourned, fasted, and the Bible says he wept about Saul's death. Wow. What a testimony of this man. You know, man, what I'm about to say to you, please take this out of love. I was challenged by this week as I was studying this passage of Scripture. I wonder how many people in our nation, professing Christians in our nation, would do this if one of our presidents were killed. I wonder how many, and I'm just going to go both ways, I wonder how many Democrats would get mad if Trump died, if he was assassinated, or if they would rejoice in him dying. Or I wonder how many Republicans would have mourned and wept over Joe Biden or Barack Obama being killed. See, we have so much hatred, so much selfishness in our nation that I question if something were to happen, what would we do? They don't chase after us. Yes, we may not agree with what they do. We may not agree with all their policies and all that, but yet, it ain't like David, the king chasing after you. Praise God, I haven't seen anybody chasing after me. And yet, after all that, David could mourn, he could fast, and he could wept, and he wept after the king's death. Man, what a testimony of who David truly was. David displayed a heart of tenderness and love for Saul, for his dear friend Jonathan. He displayed a heart of tenderness for the army and for the nation as a whole. What a testimony of the love of God that we can see through the life of David. See, Christ showed us his love when we were disobedient. Christ showed us his love when we hated everything, you know, people hated him and all that. While on the cross, yet he went to the cross, died, and paid our sin debt in full. Why? Because he loves you and he loves the will of God, the will of the Father. And David loved the will of the Father, and he wept and mourned over a man that chased after him for 7 solid years. And church, I want you to be challenged by this passage of Scripture to understand that people make us mad. People do things bad against us, but we are still to love them. We are still to show them the love of Christ, and we're still to show them the forgiveness of Christ. And we're never to hold grudges. We're never to hold on to things, but to, when they ask for forgiveness, to forgive. And when things happen to them, see that, listen, we all don't act the same. We all don't think the same. Listen, my wife and I, we don't think the same, okay? We don't. But I love her to death. And because we may have a disagreement or something, doesn't mean that my love for her changes. Just because you have a disagreement with someone doesn't mean that your love for them should ever change. And just because you may have different ideas doesn't mean your love should ever change. And David, just because Saul chased him, his love never changed for Saul. And what a great testimony that this is. And so David confirmed who the messenger was next. Not only did he grieve and mourn, but he says in verse 13, David said to the young man that told him, "Whence art thou?" And he said, "I am the son of a stranger and a Amalekite." So he lies to him again here. And then David in verse 14 questions the man. He says, verse 14, "How were you not afraid to stretch forth the hand, your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" I'm just paraphrasing there, but that's what he's saying. How are you not afraid to stretch forth your hand to the Lord's anointed? See, David said, why are you not afraid to kill Saul? The very one that was chasing David was the very one that David now is saying, I don't care what he's done, you are not to touch him. You're not to touch him. He's God's anointed. Now, I'm sure that this man, it came to a surprise to him that David said this. You know, I'm sure that this man thought, well, when I tell David, David's going to say, man, oh man, praise the Lord. Woo! My problems are gone. Come on, buddy. You're with me now. But he looks at him and says, how could you do such a thing? Excuse me? That's what David said to him. How could you kill God's anointed? I bet that man was speechless. He said, and so what happens next? Look at verse 15. David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. Talk about a turn of events for this man. Hold on now. Now, hey, listen. I killed the man that's been chasing you. I killed him. Hey, Lord, you're my Lord now. I'm bowing down to you. No. You killed God's anointed. Take care of him. That's what David does. And so this man lied to David. This man lied many times to David, but yet through David, he didn't get what he wanted. He wanted possessions, he wanted power, and he wanted prestige, but he ends up, because of his lying and deception, takes him to a grave. Listen, church. Like I said before, lying and deception can take you places where you don't want to go. Lying and deception will take you to things that you never thought were possible, and it will keep you longer than you ever want to stay. And this old man right here, I bet if he could tell you now, he would say, don't lie, don't deceive, because it took him to a grave. So David gave the verdict of his execution in verse 15. He gave him the evidence. Hey, David was like a lawyer here. He was giving the evidence why he killed him. It says, and David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. Excuse me, verse 16, I'm sorry. And David said to him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointing. So David said, hey, he confessed to killing the king, and he committed murder against God's anointed. And because he confessed to killing the king and committing murder against God's anointed, he had to be killed. And that's why he was killed. But he never thought that when he went to David that he would die. But David was a man after God's heart. David, even though Saul was a very mean, deceptive person and a cruel person, David forgave Saul, and he wept after his death and mourned it and did what he probably thought would be the greatest thing. Since he said this, that he was the killer of Saul. See, David at this time didn't know that Saul killed himself. This man was killed because he had taken the life of Saul, God's anointed. So two things that we must remember, and I'm closing with this tonight. Two things that we must remember. As a Christian, and we're all Christians in the house of the Lord tonight. As a Christian, tell the truth. Tell the truth no matter what the outcome is. The truth is always better than a lie. You say, well, I disagree there. I want you to understand. You say, well, I just told a little white lie. No, lying is lying. Okay? And the Bible tells us to be real and to tell the truth. And so we must tell the truth. And secondly, we must forgive as Christ has forgiven us. If I was David, it would have been hard for me not to rejoice with that guy and say, hey, yes, Saul is gone. It would have been very easy. But David had forgiven Saul of all that he had done. And because of that, he obeyed the king with the man that said, hey, I killed the king. And he done that. So forgive, show forgiveness. You know, listen, just because someone has done something to you and you say, well, they've hurt me more than you'll ever know. Yes, I understand. I understand that completely. And you say, well, they're in the church. Listen, I've said it before. Unfortunately, I have seen it in a pastor's home. And Vicky can tell you, living as a preacher's kid, some of the most evil people are professing Christians. But just because they're a Christian, especially, should render you to forgive them. Why? Because that shows to them the love of Christ. And if they are not a Christian, you are especially to forgive them. Why? Because that shows them the love of Christ. And the love of Christ is what they need. So forgive and tell the truth. This is what David did. And David, we're going to continue to see, was a man after God's heart. Yes, we've not gotten to where David falls yet, but we have seen right now the reason why I believe with all of my heart that God told David that he would be the future king is because of who David was, the man that David was, and the testimony of who David was a man that loved God, a man that stood on the Word of God, and a man that lived out God's will for his life. And that's the greatest thing that any of us can do. And that's what David did.